This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. We had Chris Mortensen on with us in the first hour of the show as we were discussing the breaking news out of the NFL. The trade of Carson Wentz from the Eagles to the Colts. A trade that a lot of people expected would be the way to go. Seemed like the best case scenario for him, the best place for him to land. He's now back with Frank Reich, and we'll see if his career can get back on track. As Bart said, they have the offensive line to protect him, to keep him from getting beat up. And they have a team that should be a playoff team. So now is his future, does he get back on track? Meanwhile, the Eagles move on. They do get a pick that could turn into a first, depending on what happens in Indianapolis. But that first of, well, the second, I should say, of what people expect to be a lot of movement when it comes to quarterbacks in this offseason in the NFL. But as we move on from the NFL, the NBA starts to take over the marquee, Bart. And tonight, speaking of marquee, you've got a matchup in the NBA that when you see it, you think, oh, I've been waiting for this.
Finals preview.
And that would be Nets and Lakers. Right. Could be a finals preview. And that's in L.A. tonight, 10 o'clock. It'll be on TNT. But the caveat, of course, is we never get to see these games. It's funny how the regular season, it's always like, ah, but this guy didn't play and that guy didn't play. So you're still not going to see the barometer of, well, okay, if they match up in a finals, what's it going to look like?
Right.
So no Anthony Davis, as we know, because of the calf strain, quote unquote, which keeps him out for a while. Kevin Durant, we thought, could be back tonight, but not. He'll be held out one more game with the mild hamstring strain.
I think that's done purposely, by the way.
That's what I was going to ask you. And Kyrie is probable, though he had some lower back issues that kept him out of the back-to-back against Phoenix. He did have the walking stick, though, and maybe that helped. James Harden's I'm here to play. Don't matter.
Can you turn water to wine yet with the stick, the staff? It's like the staff on the old Pharaoh movies where the staff can turn to a snake and then turn back to a staff. No? Okay. Never mind.
But still, so at least tonight you'll have LeBron James, you'll have James Harden, and most likely Kyrie Irving. So it's still worth watching, but we're not going to get that full barometer. But as we talk about now, the Nets big three. They've played seven games together. That's it so far. So how do we know? All we hear about from them is we'll be unstoppable. You can't beat us in a seven-game series. We have too much firepower. Yeah. Some also want to say this could be the greatest big three in the history of big threes. Seven games in, people are really saying that. We played this for you yesterday, but let's bring it back one more time. LeBron James was asked about comparing the Nets big three, and he said, pump your brakes. Take a listen.
Have we forgot about KD, Steph, and Clay already?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
there you go.
He's so
good. There you go right there.
Is there any excitement about facing a new challenge?
Well, it's always exciting for me to go against some of the best guys in the game, and they got three of them. They got three of the best guys in the game. Definitely love to be full when you're playing against a team like that and see – at that point in the season where you match up, how you match up against some of the best teams in the league. And obviously, we won't be full on Thursday. So, but other than that, yeah, I love going out there and just, be down on the floor with some of the best that play this game.
I feel like what we'd love to watch is LeBron versus Kevin Durant. We won't get that in this matchup. They are expected to play each other again in the second half of the season. Yeah. So maybe we'll get it then. But, of course, we really won't know until you get into what would be an NBA Finals if they meet. But, Bart... He said, pump your brakes. Did we forget about Steph and Clay and KD?
Right. Intentional.
So I said, let me just look. I'm curious. So I put a little time in and I said, let's just see. So I told you, KD, Kyrie, and Harden have played seven games so far together.
Small sample size.
Yes, it is small, but it's still worth looking at. The Nets are 5-2 in those seven games. They have played 186 minutes on the court together. And in those 186 minutes, they are plus 39. So they're outscoring opponents 486-447. Okay? So they're blowing out. Plus 39. Again, though, if you divide it by the seven games, it's really not a big difference. It's like five and change, right, per game. So they're outscoring opponents five and change per game while on the court. Let's go to Steph, Clay, and KD that LeBron so quickly brought up. Did we forget about them? In their first seven games together, which would be in the 2016-17 season, The team's record was also 5-2. They played 136 minutes on court together. As I mentioned, the other trio from the Nets, it's 186. So the 50-minute difference. But in those 136 minutes together on court in the first seven games, they were a plus +3. Uh-huh. In seven games, a plus +3. I mean, that's percentage points better than the opponent, right? Now, I was just curious. Let's go back a little further since we're talking about LeBron James. The Miami Heat and their big three, which got together in 2010, their first seven games together with LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh. Their first seven games, the Heat record, 5-2. They played in the first seven games 160 minutes on court together, which is obviously 26 minutes less than the Nets trio. But in those 160 minutes together, they were a plus +45. They outscored opponents 338-293. A little more dominant and a little less time on the court.
But we in the West, we in the East versus the West.
You could say that too. That's fair. But the Nets are in the East. So the point is that after seven games, we don't know. Because all three teams were 5-2.
Right.
And they all played like around the same amount of time together, but not a lot. So seven games, it's hard to decide anything about what you see. It takes time.
Got to acclimate themselves.
Right. And really, again, how do we judge greatness? It's not by what you do in the regular season. It's by what you do in the biggest moments. And for that Heat team, they collapsed in the finals. They got there, but they collapsed in the finals that year. It took another year for them to come back and really figure it out. That Warriors team did not collapse. They were indomitable. As we know.
Yeah.
And they really should have gone on to win, that should have just been a dynasty.
Yep.
So we don't know what KD, Kyrie, and Harden are going to be. We have no idea. But what we do know is that they are prolific when it comes to scoring. And they're going to be tough to beat in the East.
And that's how they got to win, right? They got to outscore people because we think they'd be capable. Maybe they turn it up effort-wise. Defensively, like we saw Harden, in the playoffs last year, turn his defense up. But at the end of the day, it's still going to be about putting up buckets.
But can you – see, that's where, the difference is in the playoffs. Again, I'm curious to see what the people think at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, at Barton Hahn on Twitter and Instagram as well, if you want to join the conversation. Because I just gave you the numbers on the small sample size. What it means is nothing.
Yeah.
You can call them useless stats. The point is that we didn't know about any of them. If you're saying, well, it's not enough about the Nets, what did we know about the Warriors three? What did we know about the Heat three in their first seven games? That's the point. We don't know. So we don't know yet about the Nets. The problem is that when are we going to know? The best ability is your availability.
Yeah.
And these guys are never available together on the court. But how important is it that they get before the playoffs, that they get enough time on the court that they can go through the mistakes and what roles they each want to play. Kyrie designated Harden as the point guard. I'm playing off the ball. It frees me up. I could just be a scorer.
Yeah.
And James Harden is a great facilitator. And he's, as I said yesterday, I love Brooklyn James. He's just a far better basketball player to watch than the guy we saw in Houston. Everybody seems to be comfortable in their roles. But it still has to have the 10,000 hours on the court before it's winning time
the
in a series.
Situations. Yeah, the game situations where they have to practice and work through situations and figure it out.
Got
to
fail.
Now, to me, this reminds me of a lot like the Clippers last year, right? When they said, don't worry, we'll get it together, right? Everybody was hurt. Paul George was in, load management.
Kawhi. Yeah.
Kawhi, and then when they got in the playoffs, when they got tight and they played somebody that was equal, and you look at they should have lost to Luka, the pick and roll defense. I don't know what the hell that was, and then they couldn't ultimately beat the Nuggets, but that's because they hadn't played enough with each other to learn how to be able to, when something hits them, to be able to adjust and be able to change their game. It's interesting enough, I was looking at a story and it said that they decided to go with Iman Shumpert. And they decided, who was the other guy they just picked up? It was Iman Shumpert.
Andre Roberson.
And Andre Roberson. And they had brought in Kenneth Faried was a consideration. And when I think about this matchup, I think about having somebody with energy, somebody that can go against Montrezl Harrell that's a similar type player. I thought that Kenneth Faried would have been a perfect guy that can play small but play big at the same time, that can get in pick-and-roll defense. He's a lively, active guy. And then you get Amon Shumpert. He pulls his hamstring. I don't understand the addition of Amon Shumpert. I thought Kenneth Faried would have gave him rebounding, defense, and hustle. Right, you need that McGee type of guy. You think about, you know, those teams that we just mentioned, especially the one that was in Golden State. To me, it was McGee coming out and not having to run plays for him, putbacks, running the court hard,
dirty work stuff.
Right, yeah. Dirty work. I thought that
also Draymond Green, like again, we when we talk big three with that group, Draymond was the fourth guy,
the fourth, right?
You know, he was Ringo,
exactly.
Right? He's the fourth Beatle. Like but he did a lot of dirty work, and people say he's the glue.
Right,
he's the one that while their defense was very good. Clay doesn't get nearly enough credit for his defense. And then obviously Draymond is a guy that can guard fives when he needs to, when they want to play small in the death lineup, and he can also obviously, you know, play fours as well. That's, to me, those are the critical pieces on a team. And that's the question to ask about the Brooklyn Nets. Who are those critical pieces? They want to tell you it's DeAndre Jordan.
I don't get it. He can't shoot free throws, and he's a guy you can't trust late in games.
Well, he can't play late in games, right?
Yeah, you go hack a Jordan, then what are you going to do? But I think a guy like Kenneth Faried, a guy that can stretch the court, a guy that reminds me like Crowder. He reminds me of Carlos Williams for the Pistons, you know, with the Cavs, Sox. You need a guy like that, and I don't know who's that guy like that for the Nets. Every championship team has that guy, and I thought that maybe Kenneth Faried would have been that guy and could have been that energy guy, that pick and roll defense type of guy, the put back guy, the run the court guy. And I don't know who's their energy guy, because these are guys, you know, you think about Kyrie, you think about Hart, you think about KD, they want to score the ball, but, you know, they're lethargic, and they you know, you need a guy hype. I was the hype guy, right? I was the guy that always had energy. You need an energy guy. And I think that instead of going out and maybe trying to get a guy like Drummond, which has been reported, or thinking about a guy like Blake Griffin, I think a guy like Kevin Faried is, you know, low risk, high reward.
So I just got literally at the top of the hour the official email from the NBA that there will be an All-Star game. Literally, they just a few minutes ago, and I know this has already been reported. I know Woj was all over this at the very beginning, that this was supposed to happen on March 7th, but we were waiting for the NBA to officially announce it because there was some pushback from players that were saying they don't want to, you know, they don't feel comfortable about it, and LeBron wasn't thrilled about it. Giannis said, you know, I guess we got to go. Now, remember, they're going to announce tonight the starters and the two captains who will then pick the teams, as you know how that goes. So they will have, it's official, the NBA All-Star game will be held March 7th at State Farm Arena in Atlanta. And that's where they're going to do it. One night only, 6:30 p.m. on TNT. And let me be clear, it's TNT is the key piece here.
Yeah.
Turner wanted this. It was part of the contract. It was part of the deal. And they had to figure out how they were going to do it because of the money. And the league probably told the players, if we don't have this, there could be something in the deal with Turner that costs us money.
TV rights.
That then would trickle down to you. And then you would have to give back something, which the players don't want to do that. It gets real messy when you do that. So let's just get this thing done in one day.
Play
right? That's
guys.
All I could think of is – But they're trying to do all the right things by saying that they will, a part of this year's events, the NBA and NBA Players Association, they will commit more than $2.5 million in funds and resources to historically black colleges and universities and support awareness around equity and access to COVID-19 care, relief, and vaccines.
That's all great, but they can do that regardless. Have the dunk contest and three-point contest.
Well, they are. That's at 5. They're going to have the skills challenge and the three-point contest is at 6:30. And then the game starts at 8 with the dunk contest at halftime. The good news about having the dunk contest at halftime is it has to end.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to drag out. So hopefully it'll be pretty quick. But that's basically what you're going to have. It still, doesn't it feel kind of awkward? Like, is there something about it where you're like, all right, cool. Like, I'm happy for a guy like Julius Randle who should make it for the first time. He's earned it, and he should make it, and he'll go, and he'll get to have that moment in an All-Star jersey in the arena, and that's good for
them.
Oh,
they have fans in Atlanta. They'll have some fans. How many fans are they letting
should
in?
They? Should they really? Shouldn't it be just friends
they
and
got
family
fans
only?
But they got fans at the regular games.
But does that make any sense? Like, that's my point. It should be friends or family only, and everybody has to clear that. Players have talked about this. Listen to Carmelo Anthony, who probably won't go this year, but it doesn't matter. He's been an All-Star, 12 times in his career.
He ain't going to get no wings.
And he had this to say about an All-Star game this year.
You know, honestly, I really don't know what to say about it, man. It's you know, if the NBA thinks that it's the right thing to do, then hey, it's the right thing to do. I try not to get into all of that. I know guys are tired. You know, from a player standpoint, you know, guys are tired. You know, guys are looking forward to that break, especially the older guys who's been around for for a long time. There's still the excitement is there, but it's just not the same feel as if the fans was there and it was a whole weekend. So I'm sure they'll do the best that they can.
I've covered at least 8 NBA All-Star games.
Yeah.
Been there. And I can tell you that there is something exciting about them. It's for the players, it can be a busy week. It can be a little bit overwhelming because they pull
in. I think it's the celebrities that come in town, too. And part of
it's everything. It's the parties, the events.
Yeah.
There's a lot of all the different, sneaker companies are throwing events. The players are going from here and there. They're doing different charity events. By the time you get to the game, all the players are kind of like, they're mentally fried.
Yeah.
You know, they're looking forward. That's why they turned All-Star Weekend into a whole week. So after All-Star, even the players who participated in All-Star Weekend, they still get some time off before they have to rejoin their teams. This will now be a one and done. They'll still be, of course, a week during the midseason break. But I just wonder, the game is never really that entertaining, which is why they've had to change all the rules and stuff.
Well,
last year
was worth its weight in gold.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. They've had to keep changing the rules. But if the players are going into this thing and their minds aren't really into it, will the game suffer? Or, Bart, do you think they're going to get there and the competitive juices start flowing and you'll get something out of this?
No, because I don't know what's the prize for the winning team. See, that's what you need to have. You have to have that. You have to be able to have, $1 million for everybody's charity or something.
Well, it's
the
charity
thing.
Yeah, yeah. That's always on the line. They've talked about that.
They need to put some more in the pot. Free coupon to Sweet Lou's. And this is a crazy thing. When you think about Atlanta as a whole, they're asking people please not to gravitate to Atlanta. So, you think about cities used to embrace the fact that the All-Star game was in their city because how much money that they bring to the hotels and stuff like that. But they're telling them, hey, please don't come because they don't want another outbreak as the numbers, thank God,
they are
starting to come down, but it's nowhere near what it needs to be. It's still as high as it's ever been, in July, right? So it's coming down. So it's like bittersweet because the NBA, the city don't even really want people there.
Well, the league also added in this email that I got that the league and the Players Association have established additional measures to supplement the league's current health and safety protocols. These include private travel to and from Atlanta. So obviously no one's going to be, flying commercial.
Nobody's on JetBlue.
Yeah, but I don't recall any All-Stars ever flying commercial anyway. Most of the owners are good like that. They let you take the jet. The creation of a mini bubble environment within a single hotel for players and coaches,
enhanced
PCR testing and whatnot. Additionally, for the well-being and safety of the greater Atlanta community, there will be no fan activities, ticketed events, or hospitality functions as part of the All-Star, which is also the big moneymaker as well.
Yeah, this
it does
like
not
a job.
Say there
this
won't be like fans in the building, though.
Yeah, this feels like a job. Now, like when I'm going, I got to sit in a bubble. I can't go nowhere. My friends that are coming to the city, or people that play for Atlanta, they're around having fun. I'm stuck in a bubble, can't go out nowhere, can't do nothing. And I'm just here to play a game one day. Man, fly me in the day of the game. I'm going to go hoop it up, and then I'm out.
That's what they're doing. You're coming in, and then you're leaving. And I bet you a lot of players will do just that, especially on the East Coast. Those guys, you can fly in and out of Atlanta real easy. And you don't have to be there for that. But the game is at night, so you're flying right after the game, and you just get the heck out of there, and you don't even have to stay in a hotel.
Yeah.
For that long or even overnight.
Yeah.
That might happen. You don't know. But you're adding the skills contest, so there's more people. You're adding the shooting contest, there's some more people. The dunk contest, there'll be some more people. Obi Toppin from the Knicks might be in on that.
Is he?
He might be. Just saying he might be.
Is Quickly going to be in a skills challenge?
I don't know.
Can you throw the ball?
It'd be nice. You know what, though, after last night? I broke a remote. You know that?
I'm glad. Listen, this is what I wanted to know. I wanted to know what would you have broke if you were in the studio?
Wally's face. That last night, the Knicks lost. Man. I'll be quick on this. The Knicks lost last night. So for those who don't know, the Knicks won a three-game winning streak, and they were one game under 500 and a half game out of fourth in the East, believe it or not. That's just how mediocre the East has been, or maybe how competitive it's been, if you want to say it positive. And it was they played the worst shooting team in the league in Orlando Magic, and the Magic were just red hot on fire. The Knicks couldn't make a shot. Derrick Rose and Emmanuel Quickley, the backcourt off a bench that's been very good, were 2 for 22.
Oh.
Bart, you and I couldn't go 2 for 22 in a game. Like, 2 for 22 is one of those, how the hell is this happening? But it did. And they lost the game. So once again, you can't get to 500. And it was one of those moments where you just have the remote and I just winged it. And the thing just exploded.
Oklahoma Thunder all over again.
It's just maddening. And I know there's always that moment. I've seen videos of people punching TVs. I won't do that because TV's too damn expensive. But I'm sure we've all broken something.
Oh, you can get a universal remote, though. That's cool. You can go get a
– I'm going to need one that's indestructible because that's not the first remote I broke.
Go to Radio Shack. Does Radio Shack even still open anymore? You go to Radio Shack. Go
the Shack?
It.
I don't know. Best Buy is a good friend of the show, though, and I know they are.
Oh, yeah. Screw Radio Shack. Whatever.
So you have that.
Death to Radio Shack.
But anybody else, that if you've broken something, just go to my Twitter. I'll show you the broken remote because it really did happen, and I'm not proud of it. But this is what happens when you get emotionally invested, and that's the good thing, right, Knicks fans? It's like it's supposed to hurt. I'm not numb anymore. That could be a good thing, but not losing and not failing to get to 500 again—that's frustrating, of course. Coming up, we have audio files, Bart, and in this, as we were talking about Serena Williams and her emotional exit from the Australian Open last night. You'll hear what Novak Djokovic said about her impact, not just on tennis, but on sports. It's a great perspective. We'll have that and more in Audio Files next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Right, sir.
The ESPN app. Your smart speaker. And we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. How much snow are you getting right now?
I'm probably at let me mute first.
You're about mute inches?
Yeah, I think I'm 6 muteds. You know what? It's been snow. It started snowing around 5. I think I'm about maybe 5.
Now, I understand people in Upper Michigan and people in Minnesota.
Yeah, this is.
I know you all laughing at us. Please, that's a Tuesday for us.
But we got 30 though.
Sorry, but this is too much snow.
Yeah, but we got 24 a couple weeks ago, so it's piling on. We just got that out the way. You know, my hearts go out to the people in Houston though, man. That is crazy. That is a crazy situation. Yeah. As you know, houses aren't built with insulation. You got pipes flowing. Bussing from inside. That happened to me before.
Yeah, you're not that. You're just not built for it.
It's not insulated.
You don't prepare for it, right? Yeah,
that's why houses are so cheap down there. You don't have to put a lot of stuff, not a lot of regulations. You don't got to put all that wall insulation around the pipes. Man, I feel for those guys.
Yeah. No, that's rough. I mean, you wish you could just jump on a plane and go to Cancun. We got a lot going on in the world of sports, and we like talking about it, but it's always best to hear from those that are making the headlines. And when we do that, we call it Audio Files. So, Bart, we'd like nothing more, as the quarterback carousel continues to spin in the NFL, and Carson Wentz, if you're just joining us, has been traded to the Colts for a couple of picks, one that could turn into a second-round pick. And that's a good deal for Carson Wentz. It's a good deal for the Colts as well. But Deshaun Watson, as we all know, is the biggest fish in this. And is he even going to get traded? And if he does, who should it be to? Who could it be to? Well, certainly Jets fans would love it to be to New York, to the Jets. And one of the biggest Jets fans out there is Kevin James. And he was on Sports Nation, and he gave this plea to Deshaun.
All right. Well, I would say, Deshaun, that I am a fan, and people like me are what makes the team. They really are. You're going to feel it. It's quantifiable, but in a different way. The quality of the fan is going to come to this. We're going to support you, and let's move it out of the Meadowlands and bring it to New York and just crush it with you at quarterback. Please.
Time limit notwithstanding, you just should probably let that hurt go. Like, as a former Falcons fan myself, it goes day to day. Like, you're better off not investing. Like, I can tell you that myself.
Bart.
Yeah, man.
Every fan base says, we're a great fan base and we'll support you so much. Like, I love that. Kevin James
picks.
Loves the Jets. If you ever watch any shows he's ever been on, he always likes to wear Jets memorabilia. But I don't know. How do you appeal to an athlete? Because, you know, Chris Mortensen told us Miami is his preferred destination.
Yeah, that's right.
And as a Jets fan, that hurts double. It's mud ball all over again. It's the fake spike.
Yeah, now you got to deal with them.
Like now this.
Now you got to deal with them.
Right. Now I got to see it. Now it's bad enough I don't get to trade for you. But if you go to Miami, I got to see it twice a year. And you're on the team we hate the most. We don't even hate the Patriots anymore. Tom's not there. We hate the Dolphins. Like, you're born into Jets fandom. The Dolphins are the team you hate.
Right.
The Patriots are the team you're like, God, like, they frustrate you. They're annoying. Like, they're the evil empire. But the Dolphins are like that team where you're like, mud bowl.
Right, because you think about the cities. They try and compare. Like, oh, man, New York City's not the best city to live in. How about most of the people from New York come down and live in Florida, in Miami? Miami's a much better place. We're like, hold up,
weather.
Bro. Yeah, oh, bro, we come down there just to visit. But for the everything that New York has, the entertainment, the restaurants, the springtime, the summertime,
James Harden,
James Harden, we got Scarlett's, you know, all that. I mean, never mind. You think about everything. Listen,
it's
we the real city,
destiny.
And I think they have hater envy because our city is the best city in the world, and it's that's just what it is.
That's what they said in Hamilton. It's the greatest city in the world, and in New York, Deshaun, in New York, you can be a new man. Maybe we need Lin-Manuel to appeal to Deshaun.
Yes,
Watson.
To write a poem, like write it
Can
like
we
a
just
rap.
Have like just a quick just you know a Hamilton mixtape, but we call it like the Watson mixtape.
Exactly.
And we just get the cast to perform some sort of like way to convince Deshaun.
I truly
here's
believe,
where you want to be.
I truly believe New that. York, I truly believe that Houston's going to hold on and say, you know, they're going to bite down and dig in for the 1 year. Then they're going to realize, listen, we're not going to do this for 2 years. And the Jets end up finally getting somebody that everybody sought after because they're going to have two first-round draft picks.
Bookmark that take because a tree always falls in the woods. And somebody else is going to have it when it happens. And Bart's going to be like, you know, I said that on February 18th
probably
back in 2021. And nobody remembers that. Bookmark that take because that's what Bart's saying. This thing might wait a year. The Texans might try to dig in for 1 year, and Deshaun's got to go full Tropic Thunder. He's got to do the Harden checklist, put on the fat suit, hang out at the club, don't wear a mask.
Go Carson Palmer.
He's doing bad things. We got to get rid of this guy. He's not good for the culture.
Culture? Oh, yeah.
He's not good for it. And then you trade him, and the Jets are like, hey, guess who has two first-round picks?
Yeah, you still want him?
Yeah.
Here you go.
Guess who wears green and has two first-round picks?
And guess who used two first-round draft picks and a bunch of salary cap space to become Miami and get a good team? Like, oh, Deshaun, like, hold up. They got who? Hold on,
They got
Allen Robinson? Oh, they went out and got Zach Ertz? Oh, you know what? They ain't so bad. And I get to get on the billboard, and I get to hang out with Jigga, DMX, Method Man, Jada Kiss. I get to write some albums, do whatever I want, and I get to go close to Bel Air on Wall Street, and I get all this billboard stuff. And guess what? You mean to tell me ESPN's going to pay me? They're going to pay me $1 million to call in and be the weekly call-in? Oh, man, that's easy. That's popcorn chicken right there.
A million? Do we have that in our budget?
What was Eli getting? Eli was getting about $1 million, something like that. What does Sam Darnold get paid?
It's got to be on our show, though.
That's what I'm saying. Whatever Sam Darnold's getting paid, they're going
to
triple that.
But we'll have to work on that. Hopefully we get to that point. Meanwhile, as we were playing, the NBA has made it official. They will have an All-Star game on March 7th in Atlanta. We just played you in the previous segment that Carmelo Anthony had his thoughts about how players will feel about going to this event in the midst of a pandemic still, and what the players are going to have to stay within a bubble of some sort. It's not going to feel the same. But there's also something else Carmelo Anthony talked about that Woj was reporting yesterday, and that is a lot of NBA players are a bit hesitant to join a league initiative to start doing PSAs to promote to fans and everybody watching to get the COVID vaccine. Carmelo Anthony explained his position.
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I don't know. I'm a guy who have to do the research, who needs to talk to, you know, the CDC and those people who are in charge, so I can really get a better understanding of exactly what's happening, and, you know, the effects of it, the impact of it. So I'm that guy.
So he going to call the CDC? Like, you got their number? You going to call him, Carmelo?
Robert Fauci.
Right, you're going to call, hey, Pops, let me holler at you, dog. Now, tell me the skinny on this on this vaccine,
bro. But I actually respect the fact that instead of just kind of being a sheep and, okay, I'll read this PSA and then I'll leave, it's like, you know, let me get some information before I read about this.
Yeah.
I'm all right with that.
I'm all about it. They better go get Lou Alcindor because he's – I'm sorry, let me not be disrespectful. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yes.
Why don't they go get him? He's already spoke about it. You know what
he
mean?
Has, yeah.
He's
no, already he has won. Yeah, he's he is one got that vaccinated. Certainly has done it. Right.
So you go, why don't they just go get all the stars that have taken it already? Because I think trying to force some of these young guys to do it, trying to make it cool for the younger, you know, African American community, the minority community to do it, is really what they're trying to target.
All right, last but not least, and I've been looking forward to this. I teased it earlier, and this is very significant audio. Usually we like to have fun, like we just did there with Kevin James during Audio Files, but this is a little more serious, and it's serious because I love what's said and who said it. As Serena Williams was eliminated in straight sets early this morning at the Australian Open in the semifinals by Naomi Osaka, and she got emotional when leaving. There was a lot of kind of speculation, some feeling like, are we nearing the end for Serena? Novak Djokovic was asked about Williams after he won his semifinal match, and his words about Serena Williams, they moved me, and hopefully they'll move you as well. Take a listen.
She's such an amazing champion that inspires both male and female athletes around the world. And what she has been doing, I mean, still is doing in her age is extraordinary. I mean, I'm sure she's, you know, disappointed. But I think when you see a larger picture for her and everything that who she is, what she stands for on and off the court, she's one of the greatest ever. I mean, there is no doubt. Athletes, not just tennis players.
How great. Athletes, not just tennis players. Transcendent legend.
Exactly.
That's what I feel is the best way to describe Serena Williams when it comes to her play. You know, people, I know we use GOAT, and we always have these debates about, okay, the greatest athlete of the generation, all that stuff. But I just feel like the way to describe Serena, you can't do it in just... you know, just describing her feats on the tennis court. I feel transcendent legend might be the best way to describe her for everything that she has become for this generation. And by the way, the next one.
Exactly. And she's already inspired, you know, Osaka, right? You know, it's crazy, you know,
Coco Gauff as well,
right?
and it's several others.
And that's the hard part, right? Trying to still be great. You know, we saw it a little bit with LeBron the other day with Edwards, right? Hitting the three and just like in awe
Anthony
that
Edwards,
that he's going at his hero, right? But then, you know, as the hero, you got to say that, hey, maybe this is the time for me to start stepping aside. You know, some of these young guys are really starting to be able to play very well. And that's what, you know, makes us think that maybe she won't be able to get it done, because it would mean that Osaka or one of those players would have to play down or maybe have an off day. But you still hope and think that maybe she could pull it off. But what she did with equal pay for women, you know, when her and Venus set out, you know, it's tremendous what she did for women's sports. I think women tennis gets played closer to what men get paid than any other sport, WNBA, NBA. And that's because of them, and because they were the ratings, they were the go-getters. And I think that she's a model that should be, you know, duplicated. You know, what she did in fashion and everything that she's done it all. She's the GOAT. She's the modern-day GOAT. you know, whoever has the record before, that's great. But to us, she's the mom.
Of course.
Top.
Yeah, this generation of tennis is no doubt about that. All right, coming up, we'll talk a little college basketball. But we also, speaking of, you know, farewells, Tim Tebow says goodbye. And Bart has a guess or prediction of where he might end up next. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. You don't want to miss it.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Bart and Han.
Bart Han, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Bart Han Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Mood music, Bart.
Mm-hmm.
You got your new headset with your voice.
Yeah,
sounds,
man,
a little different because the
smooth jazz.
The college basketball season's heating up, and that means Wendy's Wooden Watch has begun. Go to ESPN.com and search Wooden Watch for the list of the Wooden Award late season top 20 nominees to watch as this season rolls on. I mean, who is it going to be other than Luke Garza? The senior from Iowa has been fantastic. Big game tonight, Iowa and Wisconsin on ESPN at 7 p.m. So that is a game you certainly want to watch. A big game in the Big Ten for sure.
Yeah, go Badgers, man. What they did to Michigan State, embarrassing Izzo like that. I can't roll with you no more.
Ooh,
Iowa.
That was a blowout. The John R. Wooden Award presented by Wendy's. Bart, before we go, Tim Tebow said goodbye to the Mets. He will not accept their invite back.
He told them no. Really?
Given another shot in the minors, he said, that's enough for me. I'm done. Now, is the timing here right for him to, join Urban Meyer? You know, perhaps they do have an opening now where Chris Doyle is no longer director of sports performance for the Jaguars. Perhaps it could be Tim Tebow?
Well, I don't think it's so much to be the sports performance. Mm-hmm. But how about this?
Yeah.
Jack Easterby, eat your heart out. I'm the character coach. Not only am I the character coach, I'm also the team chaplain. Who can represent the team chaplain better than Tim Tebow with the Sunday bread, the daily bread message?
Culture coach.
And also be the culture coach. Who's better than that guy? Nobody.
What if he plays the Taysom Hill role behind Trevor Lawrence? He can do that too.
He can be the emergency. He knows the offense. He can be the emergency third string like
he's
Josh McCown.
He
can
Does be he like, ever age?
So
he's
he can
only
be like
33.
And he still has a buzz cut. He can be just like Josh McCown. So we got character coach. We talk about getting bang for your buck. Uh-huh. Chaplain and third string emergency quarterback like Josh McCown.
I mean, why not? He's only 30. I can't believe how young he is.
And he's from Jayville. He lives in Jacksonville.
Urban Meyer's
right?
Calling. Go to Jacksonville, Tim Tebow. I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll holla.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Han weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Han, the podcast.